But we have a tendency to hide. We do that all the time. We don't want to go to church. Bible said, no way. No. Let's go to that thing. The church is having a concert. Nope, no, I might see Christian people. No. And there's something broken on the inside. And you're sitting in the mall and you see that pastor coming along. Oh, just passed away. Let's go the other way. I see some of you. I watch. Makes me feel bad.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. The old saying says, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, today, Pastor Wayne is going to show us that God looked down and saw a world that was broke, so he sent Jesus Christ to fix it. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Broken People Can't Dance.
And God is saying, no, you're not a castaway. That the very reason I came to the earth is to look for broken people like you and like me. I did that with Adam and Eve. I still do that today. And that's why the Lord so loved the world that he came, because he came to seek and save that which was lost or broken, to repair a broken relationship. That's what the cross is all about. Not to bring a new religion, but to repair broken people. But instead, we just start throwing each other away, throwing our own lives away. And the Lord says, no, this is the very reason why I came to the earth. Reminds me of a mom with her little 5-year-old son. They were driving down the freeway, and there in front of her was this big rubbish truck with some tree trimmings and cuttings. And in order to keep it from flying away, they had one of the employees just sort of spread-eagled holding the stuff down. And the little boy's eyes got really big, and he said, Mom, look, they're throwing away a perfectly good human being. And sometimes we get to that point where we just, just forget it. Let's throw it away. But I want you to know with me, would you write a number one? Write that down. Broken people have God's attention. Broken people have God's attention. That's the very reason he came. In fact, in Luke chapter 4, he sort of gives his job description, why he came. And it's actually a quote out of Isaiah 61 in verse 1 and 2. But let's read in part verse 1 of Isaiah 61. Let's read it together. Go. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Would you underline that? Bind up the brokenhearted. God wants to bring healing to broken people. That was his assignment. He didn't come to judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He didn't come to hold their transgressions against them or count their transgressions against them. He came to help us to find a way out of our transgressions, not to condemn us within them and stay within them, but to help us to find a way home. People whose lives and hearts have been broken by poor decisions and past mistakes. Reminds me of an old child's nursery rhyme. It goes like this. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. You know it with me, let's say it. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses, all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty together again. And I would add, but the king could. So the king left his throne in glory and put aside his regal raiment and came down to put Humpty Dumpty's back together again. The king could. King's horses and king's men couldn't, but the king could. And that's exactly what Jesus came to do, to bring us wholeness. Now, at that point of brokenness, from a poor decision, a mistake, a betrayal, whatever it might be, that's a very crucial moment in our lives, because it's there that we can become broken on the inside and remain so and become antagonists because something's broken. Or we can be healed and become ambassadors. It's a very crucial intersection of brokenness. You'll either become antagonists or you become ambassadors. And I want to talk about that. What are the decisions that we must make? How do we see the symptoms of whether or not we're still broken on the inside? Because if you're still broken, you can be a Christian, but broken on the inside, and you'll become an antagonist. Or you can be someone where God heals, repairs, restores, and you become an ambassador. You look at those that are the greatest ambassadors to those who are incarcerated. Were they not those who themselves were incarcerated and now healed? Look at those that have such a compassion and a heart for young people in drugs or at risk. Were they not those who were once broken themselves in the same place? Now, if not, If you go the wrong way and run from God, you can become an antagonist for anyone in that situation, become ruler over them all with an iron fist, saying, where was God when I was broken? Where were you, God? How come you didn't save me from that? And all those things happen. And we become antagonists. Or we can become an ambassador. As was a girl named Christine Tolbert. She was the president's daughter of Liberia in Africa when one day her father and 16 of his cabinet members were tied up and assassinated before her eyes. She later on escaped to the Ivory Coast. She was a Christian at that time, but she became a broken Christian. Broken on the inside, not contrite, broken. And something needed to be fixed. She became an antagonist. Why, where was God? How come these people are like that? And she became very fierce, an iron-fisted Christian, ready to condemn people, tell them why they're wrong, where they're going wrong, how unrighteous they are, because she was somehow punishing people for what happened in her life. Well, she married someone named Lawrence Norman, and they began attending some Bible studies, and through the Bible studies, God healed her on the inside, that which was broken. And then, about 15 years later, because she was no longer broken, but healed by God, she turned from an antagonist to an ambassador. And when the government changed over, they were looking for someone that would help them reconcile the mess. And guess who they called? That's right, they called Christine, who was the daughter of the president that was assassinated. She and her husband and a few others went up, met with over 100 delegates, and began to bring reconciliation to the government. An antagonist that was healed from brokenness becomes an ambassador. Those moments of brokenness are very crucial. What are the things that we have to remember that God would tell us about? How do we get healed? Well, the first thing is, would you see with me that God will seek us in the points of brokenness? He'll stir our hearts. He'll agitate our conscience. He'll really get us kind of riled up so that we understand something needs to take place. Now, why does God do all of these things? Would you read with me 2 Corinthians 5:18? Go. Now, all of these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. Underline those words, reconciled us to himself, because the first step is always that you must be reconciled with God. Before we can help others and be ambassadors to represent the Lord well, we've got to be whole ourselves. We've got to be reconciled to God, and that's always going to be the first step. Now, I want you to see with me that if there's a brokenness in a marriage, the first step isn't to make a pact with each other to get things back together, because sometimes we want to just fix the problem. But the Lord says, no, the first step is to get reconciled to God. Then, when we get reconciled with God, then we can start to bring peace with one another. And that's going to require something that sounds the same, but it's not really the same. Would you write in the first bullet right there, brokenness is not the same as being broken. Brokenness is not the same as being broken. There's some things inside me that's broken. I haven't fixed it yet. Versus a person with a broken spirit. Now, that's a whole different thing. That's what the Bible calls a contrite heart. That's someone ready to repent, willing to be changed, willing to be fixed. That's called a broken and a contrite heart. That's different from people that are broken, and I'm just going to kind of say, why was God not there for me? And I'm going to get antagonistic. That's a whole different thing. Let's read the scripture here so you can see what I mean in Psalm 51. Go. A broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. And the next, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. See, having a contrite heart means that I'm willing to humble myself and say, Lord, whatever you need to do and whatever you need to fix, go for it. That's a contrite heart. You see, people with a broken spirit are whole, but there's other people that are broken and are not. The other day, Anna and I were at the Ala Moana Shopping Center, and a car was parked there. And as I looked, we sort of laughed because there was more duct tape on the car than there was paint. There was a big rust spot, and they duct taped the whole thing. And a fender was falling off. They had duct taped the fender back on. And this whole thing, there was a one place on the windshield that was broken, so they duct taped that too so they couldn't see the crack, I guess. And the whole thing was duct taped together. And we laughed, and I thought, you know, on a smooth road, that thing might be fine, but as soon as it hits like a speed bump, that thing will fall apart. So I'm wondering, you know, if this guy goes on side roads just to stay away from any pit holes or potholes or speed bumps. And I thought, sometimes we're like that. If we're broken, we can fix ourselves up with duct tape. And then we kind of steer away from any speed bumps. Oh, don't shake my world. That's wrong. That's wrong. You're wrong. Stay away from me. Stay away. No, you're a sinner. Sinner. Because I'm really broken on the inside, and I just duct tape myself together. I can still look like a car, drive like a car, but I can't handle any speed bumps because I'll fall apart. Don't test me because I'll fall apart. And God is saying, those are the people that I want to come and heal up on the inside. Why does God seek after those that are broken but are duct taped together so we still look like, act like Christians? But why does He seek after us? Why? Number two, would you write down? Because healed people become healers. Healed people become healers. Because then we start to do the work of God. You see, whether or not you're a husband, a wife, a single person, a student, an auntie, an uncle, a grandfather, grandmother, son or a daughter, every single one of us has a ministry. You know what that is? Let's read about it. Go. God gave us the ministry of reconciliation, not counting their trespasses against them. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. You know what God is saying? The very same assignment I came to the world to do is to find those caught in trespasses and not count it against them, but help them find a way out. I want you to be ministers of reconciliation to help people find their way home. Because you see, sometimes if we're broken on the inside, one of the symptoms is I'll start to count people's trespasses against them. That's a symptom that something's broken. I will start to see what's wrong and let you know how wrong that is. You should know better. And when that happens, something's on the inside that's broken that needs to be fixed. You say, you mean, Wayne, you got to be perfect before you help others? No. You can be weak in body, but your spirit can be whole and you'll be an ambassador, not an antagonist. Jesus was like that, though He was on the cross. He was there because of injustice. A monkey court that condemned a righteous man. Yet on the cross, notice out of His heart, He could give away life because He didn't allow Himself to be broken by others' injustices. Let's read what He's saying from the cross. Would you read it with me? Go. Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots, dividing His garments among themselves. You see, the Lord, even though on the cross, was a healer. See, one of the symptoms of whether or not I'm broken on the inside is this. Would you write in your first bullet? Broken people can become self-righteous. Self-righteous. That's one of the symptoms. When I see myself saying, oh, you know, you can't be doing that. I'm better than that. And you're sinning. And you're a speed bump in my life. And I'm going to let you know. The Lord says, be careful, because when I start holding people to a higher standard than even the Bible holds people to, then I'm fishing in the wrong pond, I'm playing the wrong game, I'm missing everything, I'm dying on the wrong hills. You see, even it was the Lord even who saw that woman caught in adultery in John 8. Some people picked up a rock and they were ready to throw at her and bring death to her. And the Lord says, whoa, put those stones down. No. You mean you're going to tolerate that sin and endorse? No. But that's not the way to deal with it. You and your righteous or self-righteousness will cause this woman who's caught in sin to be brought death when I want to go and deal with the sin, but I want to bring her out of that into life. Put those stones down. But you don't put those stones down. And they walked away angry at Jesus because they were righteous. Well, maybe self-righteous. Does that mean that Jesus endorsed that sin? No. Did He count her trespass against her? No. He knew the devastation of sin, but He also knew how to help people find their way home. He was not an antagonist. He was an ambassador. And we have to choose in moments of brokenness, what are we going to be, an antagonist or an ambassador? And that'll be one of the more important choices that we will make in our life. That'll either bring death to situations that are already bad, or out of that, bring life. And you see, one of the symptoms that I'm becoming an antagonist is the fact that I'm becoming a little bit self-righteous. In fact, let's read out of Ecclesiastes 7:16. Go. Do not be excessively righteous, and do not be overly wise. Why should you? Yeah. You see, when I'm starting to get really critical of people and starting to point out their trespasses, something inside of me is broken. It happened just recently. A man sent me a couple of letters that were very strong. He had been in one of the services and visiting and took what was intended to be very helpful and turned it into something that wasn't intended to be. And he wrote me a very stinging letter. And so I wrote a gracious letter back saying, I'm sorry, I didn't intend it that way. That's not my heart, and et cetera, et cetera. And then it wasn't good enough because he sent another one saying, I don't believe you. And it went on and on and on. And it's like he twisted what was said and then dipped his hand in an acid motive, wrong motives, terrible spirit, slapped it on this thing and said, that's you. I said, no, that's me. Yes, it is. No. And then I thought, uh-oh, something's broken inside of him. Something happened to him, and now he's punishing everybody for something that he's hurting with. And I thought, oh. So I wrote him another gracious letter back. But he reminded me of an artist that's a poor artist, let's say. And this guy's skill is really bad. And there's a beautiful, beautiful young lady. And this guy paints this lady. And now it turns out just ugly as can be because of his skill is so poor. And he paints her and he'll say, here's a portrait of her. And I'll say, oh, that's ugly. He says, yeah, no, but she's beautiful. No, here's a picture. No, that's ugly. She's beautiful. No, this is how she looks. She doesn't look like that. If she did look like that, that's ugly. But she's not like that. You see, and his portrait, his representation, his depiction says little about her. It says more about his own ineptitude and problem. And a lot of times we represent the Lord poorly. And it says less about the Lord. It says a whole lot about us, that we're still broken. Something's wrong. But the danger is many people in the world will say, if that's the kind of God you serve, we don't want to have anything to do with them. And they run and hide from the one who's looking for them, not because of his goodness or wrath. It has nothing to do with God. It has everything to do with the way we're representing him. And we'll represent him poorly if we're broken on the inside. Well, I wrote him another gracious letter back, and sure enough, about 2.5 months, I didn't hear from him. About the third month, he wrote a letter back. And this time he was asking for help and advice because his wife had taken his children and left him with a letter saying, let's correspond by letter from now on until the divorce is final. I don't want to be around you anymore. And he wrote and said, what do I do? And I thought, oh, he was broken, Lord, all along. That's why he was antagonistic. You see, one of the symptoms of me having something broken that needs to be healed is I can get a little antagonistic and have that pharisaical self-righteousness, but really there's something broken. I won't be representing the Lord well as an ambassador. I'll be more of an antagonist. And that's what happened with the Pharisees. Let's read what happened with two people, one a Pharisee and one a sinner. Let's read it. Go. The proud Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, I thank you, God, that I am not a sinner like everyone else. I never cheat, I don't sin, I don't commit adultery, and I give you a tithe of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance saying, O God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God, for the proud will be humbled and the humble will be honored. Oh, see, that's one of the symptoms that I am really broken on the inside and need God to fix me rather than duct tape me up and then just keep going like I usually am. No, the Lord is seeking. He'll agitate your heart. And you'll see the symptoms of an antagonist where we start to hold people to standards that the Bible doesn't. And we start putting in our intentions on others. Like a guy came to me and I said, we were talking and I said, oh gosh, I don't know what to do. He said, oh, don't say gosh. I said, why? He said, because that's like taking the name of the Lord in vain. You know, that should be like God. You just said God. I said, no, I said gosh. He said, oh, don't say gosh, because that's really a substitute for like, oh my gosh, oh my God, oh man, don't say that. I said, whoa, why? I said, good grief. Oh, don't say good grief, because that's like God's grief. I said, stop, good night. Oh, don't say good night. It's like God instead, you know? I said, well, I'm just saying gosh, I don't worship gosh. He said, no, that's like taking the name of the Lord in vain. I said, well, wait a minute. You're taking your spirit and your intention and your attitude and sticking it on my words and then condemning me, because you should condemn yourself. But you don't want to, and you're punishing me for your bad attitude. No, I'm not. You can't be saying, oh, my gosh, because that's bad. I said, holy mackerel. Said, oh, don't say holy mackerel. Oh, come on. I came in this some time ago, and there was a guy sitting on the corner, and he turned around and he said, hey, Pastor Wayne, he said, I'd come to your church more if you'd quit making so many jokes. I said, what? He said, yeah, just preach the word, brother. Just preach the word, he said. I said, I think I am. I come, you know, if not from Webster's Dictionary or from, you know, Dell comic books. I come from the Bible, and we try my best. I do the best that I can. Yeah, but if you just preach the word, brother, we don't want all this entertainment. You can get rid of the lights and all this. Oh, I said, so you want no entertainment, so the option is be boring, no light, so it'd be in the dark, no laughter, so just cry, and then you'll have a good church. I said, then you're going to have to go to another church, because we're going to have lights here, and we're going to do as excellently as we can, because God is honored by our excellence. We're going to do the best we can. And I said, you got to laugh a little bit, because we're human, H-U-M-A-N. We're not androids. We're human. Because if we're not careful, we'll paint this austere picture of Christ. And it's like, you know, you just got to be really excessively righteous. It's like God is looking over the banisters of heaven saying, there's Wayne. He's laughing. No. We got to be people that, because if we're not careful, we'll die on the wrong hills. And we'll never lead anybody home to the throne. We'll be antagonists, counting people's trespasses against them. Rather than like Jesus. Oh, but you're diluting the gospel. No, I think we're living the gospel more than it should be. I mean, the more like it should be than anyone else. Because if you just take a look, just as Jesus worked with people, related to people, do the very same thing. Did you know that he was called a friend to prostitutes? Do you think he compromised one iota? Not on your life. But there was something in him that made him an ambassador that led people home so they could find their way home. You can't do that as an antagonist, as a reprimander of the brethren. God's looking for ambassadors. And it's got to start with us. And so one of the symptoms is when we're starting to lose that, there might be something broken on the inside of us that maybe we've duct taped for just too long, and it's time for God to heal us. Because you see, when God heals you and you're willing for God to check you out, to make sure that everything is okay, then you start to cooperate with God. Because you see, broken people duct tape. Broken people can't dance. They can't dance with the song of the Lord. They can't have that laughter and that sense of joy where people see you as a guide to show me the way home rather than a reprimander because I'm lost. And we say, oh, Lord, you need ambassadors in these last days, don't you? Yes, because there's a bunch of broken people out there that God is seeking, just like he did with Adam and Eve. He's still doing the same today, and he's looking for people who will be ambassadors. Would you write in number 3? Because you see, whole people serve the purposes of God as his ambassadors. Whole people serve the purposes of God as his ambassadors. Let's read, finally, 2 Corinthians 5:20. Go. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Did you catch that? We're ambassadors. As if God himself were appealing, entreating, seeking through us. Can I say this? Make sure you paint him well. Make sure we represent him well so that there's less of us and more of him. And in doing so, we'll be not antagonists, but we'll be ambassadors. No, not diluting the word of God, but making it what it's supposed to be, good news, because it'll help people find their way home. May he use us that way. Amen.
You have just heard a message entitled Broken People Can't Dance by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu.
Hi, this is Wayne Cordero. There's a brand new church starting up, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in Eugene, Oregon. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the worlds in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. Two services, 9 and 11 a.m. We'll see you there.
Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord, and aloha.